Can you do roll call, Nick?
Sure can. Chris Gans.
Present.
John Burr.
Present.
Bill Viner. Absent. Eric Barrett. Absent. And Robin Schombach. Absent. Rick Gonzalez.
Here.
Is present. He's the design professional for the IID 1908, the Baffert project, which we will be reviewing today, so we do have a quorum.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. Next on the agenda is the approval of the legal action report at the December 5, 2019 meeting.
Motion to approve is presented.
A second.
Aye.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Sorry. Okay. Next on the agenda is IID-19-08, the Baffert T19SA00166 and DP19-0220. And the first item on this is preliminary staff remarks.
Yeah, so this is a mixed-use project located at the Five Points intersection. It consists of 14 residential units on top of about 2,400 square feet of retail. There's also an underground parking garage associated with the structure itself, providing enough parking for each residential unit. The relief that they are requesting through the IID is setback relief, parking reduction, and trash services modification as well. And with that, I think we could turn it over to the applicant for a presentation.
Yes. Please state your name. And when you, anyone who's going to speak, please state your name before you start speaking.
Okay. My name is David Schombach. I'm the project architect. I've been hired by Larry Kapler, who I'm going to introduce as a property owner and the developer.
Okay.
I also want to recognize my my assistant, Zach Peters, who's done a really great job on the presentation materials and has been really, really critical to this overall project. So, as most of you know, this project has been in the works for a long time. There's a rezone that's associated with. That's been associated with this project, taking the property out of the historic zoning. Right now, the part of the zoning conditions was to go through the IID, all the historic commission reviews and whatnot. So that's where we're at with it. We've worked with the had a lot of feedback from different people. My client has been particularly adamant on doing a quality building. So I think we're in a good place right now. Just to give you a little bit of a backup and not put any kind of pressure on anybody, we've already been approved by the Armory Park. We just had our PRS approval happen yesterday. The design professional has approved our project design. And I just heard from Mark Castro that the individual parking plan has been approved.
Good.
So we're, so no pressure, but this I think is the last approval process.
And Mr. Chair, members of the DRC have to mention that yesterday the PRS did recommend approval as presented by the applicant with no conditions.
That's not correct. They actually concurred with Armory Park.
They endorse Armory Parks, okay. But they themselves
didn't have any conditions.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, so I'm sure everyone's got a chance to take a look at it. I'm going to go through the basically our response to the design professionals' comments very quickly, and then we're really happy to take on any comments and questions you may have. So this is the presentation that we've been using basically our focal point for the project, which is probably the true focal point, which is the intersection of 6th Avenue, basically the Five Points intersection. So as you can see, the project is trying to, as a baseline, we're trying to use some historic materials. Brick was a really important material that Larry really wanted to incorporate, which we consider a little bit more of a traditional and a softer warmer type kind of material, but we still wanted to make the overall project have a more contemporary and have a feeling of its own place in time, and not try to mimic any kind of like or copy a historic protocols. So even the cornice, for instance, which is harkens back to a traditional design method, is a little bit different in the sense it's got a really thin profile. We're planning on making it on steel, so that it has a slightly different finish edge to it, but we'll still get the sort of the shadow effect through the whole thing. Then we have this, which is a primary sort of design element on the 18th Street component, which is what we call it the sunscreen, which is a perforated element. You can sort of see that this is like the selection of materials we're starting to think about. So the perf, you know, we're still working a little bit on the scale, you know, which scale seems to be would work the best. We're probably going to do like a little mock-up for ourselves to sort of determine exactly which material we're going to use. The block, black anodized aluminum for all the windows and door elements, and then again the sort of you can sort of see the brick elements. So this is just a sampling of the materials. Within the packet we did show some of the colors associated with it. We also can sort of see how our building just happens to incorporate the elements associated with the archway project, which, you know, we were able to get the plans for, so we were able to incorporate that into this particular rendering. And we've also planned planned our landscaping and whatnot appropriately. So let's go to the garage plan first. We'll just start working our way up.
If you want to use the mouse, you can. It might be a little easier for you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, run one. Garage plan.
Okay, so this is the below grade component of the project. So this one of the parking concepts and really associated with trying to create a market rate apartment complex is basically we're providing one secured private parking space within a secured underground parking garage for each apartment. So each apartment has one at least one space associated with it. So, you know, that was one of the things that the Larry really insisted on in the sense that he's looking at providing something that's probably a little bit considered a little bit more a little bit more upscale, and something there's actually a few apartments when we get to the upper stories that actually have two bedrooms, so potentially there's a few families that could I'm sure happily move in there. So let's go to the site plan or the first floor plan, I guess. So this is the first floor plan, and there's a couple things here that are important through the component of the design. Number one is that because it's such an important corner to the fabric and the edges of the neighborhoods, our design sort of tried to capture and organize the corner and help in through the use of landscaping, planters and walkways to direct people to the intersection, as opposed to having sort of this freeform wasteland of boxes and poles and whatnot. So, and then we emphasize the sort of what we're considered the main entrance for a primary tenant, because we suspect that a primary tenant would want probably at least three bays, if not four. And so this would be the primary tenant's entranceway. Depending on the final organization, this is considered a white box retail area, so there's a lot of flexibility associated with it. There's also additional storefronts that actually would be like other entryways. So we're anticipating to create some flexibility, commercial entrances off the street, additional reorganized street parking, in addition to conjunction of the commercial street entrances, and also then this primary sort of focal entrance. The other thing we did is we created like a little secondary plaza area and potentially an outdoor dining area. Larry, I think, is really trying to work with some people that are providing a restaurant-type use, so we're sort of anticipating that an outdoor patio would be good for them. And then also a plaza area that's not particularly big, not particularly focused on any one use, but just sort of an area so we can put some landscape materials, some paving patterns, and sort of create a method for people to sort of feel like this is a little bit open as part of the overall design. You can see that the carriage house is still in place. We have the apartment entrances, the primary apartment entrances from coming on both sides. If the primary owner or owners of the apartments, they'll actually be entering the apartment from the garage. They have stairs or an elevator that goes down to that level. Visitors will either come from the north, but I suspect most of them will be coming from the south. So this is a separate entrance, clearly identified by signage, and then this would be considered the back of the house. Do we have the site plan available? So here's an additional information associated with the site plan. We've actually created a driveway where we're one-way drive, which allows a certain amount of handicapped van parking, and we're sort of considering this would be where any loading would occur for any of the retail uses. Then we also have created and organized the trash enclosures so that they're not directly on the alley. You know, put them in a place that they seem to be far enough away that they're not going to be as impactful to the to the neighborhood itself. And right now the current scheme is that we'll be using sort of plastic type bins that will be rolled out and then lifted up in dumped. And I understand that they're much quieter than the steel ones, so we're thinking that's going to be really helpful as well. Then using scale elements such as trees, which this is not a landscape plan, the site development plan actually shows a lot more of the detailed landscaping, breaking down the forms a little bit, and then also recognizing that there's a couple things that are still happening. The across Arizona Avenue, there's actually established trees there. It's going to help with the sort of the buffering somewhat. Larry's actually committed a certain amount of money that's available to create a buffer wall or install a buffer wall along these property lines. So that's still available if somebody decides that they're going to use it. And then additionally, as far, and you're not really seeing it here, is that lease parking agreement is, Larry's given a lease parking agreement from the Wasley Motors area that's going to be used by, excuse me, by people within the building. Okay, so why don't you go to the first floor?
Same.
Okay, so retail at this level. Continue on to the second floor. Okay, this second floor and third floor plan are very similar, but essentially we have one bedroom apartments right here, and then on the end on each floor there's a two bedroom apartment, a little bit larger, a little bit more generous, something for a family to use. And then on this side we call it the penthouse, sort of tongue in cheek, but basically these are unique apartments. There's actually two of them stacked on top of each other, and the uppermost one has a little loft component, so it's got a two-story component that's within the enclosure of what we're calling like the bookends. So going up to the next floor, we do have a small roof. Most of the mechanicals here, we have some mechanical screens, and then we have some small outdoor rooftop patio available to the tenants only. It's a private patio associated with that. Roof goes up from there. Continuing on, elevations. One of the changes that have happened is we had a 50-foot, a 50-foot component of our building that we needed for the elevator component, because we just have to have it for the mechanism of that. In negotiations with Armory Park, basically they suggested that the current limit based on the rezone is 48 feet. To bring the main cornice part down to 48 feet and then just extend only the elevator component, which was allowed as part of the conditions of the rezone. So you can start seeing how we've broken down the scale of some of the elements. These are some reveal elements that we've put into the brick component, brick, the cornice, the sunscreen. This is the ground block they're going to use on the ground floor on both the north and south. Start seeing the storefront elements. This is the main entry. The signage is starting to show up. Some scale elements, again, associated with the way we've organized the sunscreen and the walkways. And again, the carriage house actually I think helps with the manipulation of scale from the neighborhood side, because it's actually in front of between the neighborhood and the main building. Okay, again, this is the 6th Avenue street side, and you can sort of see the rhythms are a little bit more in keeping with what we see in sort of traditional masonry buildings, but we're not trying to mimic anything necessarily. We still have our reveal band. We have a little balcony associated with the penthouse, the lofted penthouse area, and again, the sort of that main focal point entry from up that's right near the corner of 18th Street and 6th Avenue. Okay, again, we're sort of emphasizing the scale elements. This is the north elevation, so you can sort of see where the block is going to be associated with that. This is sort of the north elevation where the apartments are. There's no balconies on the north elevation, but there's a breakdown of windows. Sort of create this organized element of framework to emphasize sort of this contemporary look and sort of create the bridge in between the two, what we call the bookends. And this is the stair side of it, or the eastern side of it. And again, these are the elements associated with that, and this is one of the entries, and there's some stepping that's associated with where the lobby entry is from the northeast side. And you can see the gateway project elements, some of the landscape elements. These are not great color renditions of like what the colors we're thinking about, but these are sort of the part of the color palette that we're starting to look at. Okay, go on. Next one. So here's just some black and white renderings, which actually sort of give you a little bit more sense of what the textures are happening with the textures. You get to see the whole project in some kind of view. Steel elements up here, a little bit of stucco here. Again, the masonry. This is where the trash enclosure would be on this side. So this is the north elevation. And again, so you can sort of see how there's a diversity within the materials, but there's still a certain amount of cohesiveness to the way that everything's organized from front to back. Again, the rendering. And then if we go to the renders, we actually did a night rendering just to get a sense of what the light quality is. And this, you can sort of see what we're hoping to get out of the sunscreen, which is a certain amount of change throughout the course of the day, night, a little bit of activity happening behind the screen, and just sort of create the sense of interest and design continuity. So anyway, that's the presentation that I've been giving for the last couple months, so I'm ready to take any questions.
Before we take questions, we want to listen here from the design professionals.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, ERC members. You have before you the response to my comments. that have also been presented. I was more than satisfied with the responses. They were very detailed, and I appreciate that. And I can go into it more specifically if you wish, but I think everything's in the record. If you have any other concerns or ideas that you might want to present, in addition to what I've already commented, I would recommend this project for approval.
Okay. We're open for questions.
Okay. One thing I couldn't figure out, and I'd never ask about, are there windows in the bedrooms on the south side off of the walkways? It looks like they might be little square ones.
Well, there's a couple things that are happening, and I can show you right here. So there's these openings that were
there in the middle,
but they're onto an open walkway, and so they're a scale defining. Device. We're actually wondering whether we're going to put glass in there or not, or maybe just some like real thin screen material, that basically disappears. But then within the walkway, between the walkway in the wall between the apartments and the walkway, we do have some openings between that allows a little bit of light coming in from the south direction into the bedroom windows.
Okay, I couldn't quite.
And there's a transom above. There's a transom too above the main entry doors.
Okay.
And so we're trying to create this thing where it's not just like your typical apartment where one side is just blank. And there's no fenestrations or anything happening on it. So
that's kind of what I thought. It's just you couldn't tell because it looked like a solid wall on the actual
right.
floor plans.
And everything's sort of tied too. And they're not operable. None of those windows are going to be operable. And they'll.
So you want to have people peering in.
Right. And they'll probably have some kind of film or will be an obscured glass. So it's going to be. It'll still need to be insulated as well because it is exposed to the environment.
Good is this the screening material you're contemplating?
Yeah, the one that we're actually leaning towards is probably the perforated or the smaller perforation with the corrugated.
And this is the material for the mechanical on the roof.
This is right here.
Okay.
We're gonna do like a little scale mock-up and get some larger panels in between these two and. Because the one of the things about the sunscreen is the size of it, and we want to make sure that we pick the scale and material that associated with the and so we want to be able to get like probably like at least a 6 foot panel of each one of these,
mm-hmm.
set them up, and then take a look at them from different views and just pick the element that the size and scale that seems to work. But I actually think that the corrugated with the smaller perps are going to work better.
The curvy ones.
Yeah, right. The ones right there.
It seems to me that would make it darker. But and I understand it's south facing, so you definitely
right.
want to screen
well,
the sun. But
yeah.
But I also think about the light. It would be good to have a 6 foot panel and try it in different directions and see what it's like to do that.
Yeah. Does the curvy one come in a larger? With the 40%
standard? Well, I mean, we can change the actual perf sizes, the opening sizes. We get to pick sort of the size of the holes, the orientation of the holes, and then the actual profile. So all those three are combinations of things.
So you're working with McNichols, is that right?
We're working directly with a company called Addis.
Okay.
It's steel out of Phoenix. They're very responsive in getting this. But most companies have there's Mueller creates some of this stuff. McNichols does. So there's different materials. So
I'm not going to give specific advice because it doesn't really matter.
No.
You should pick the best thing.
Right.
Yeah. But I think the soft rounder curve, S curve, would be a more effective shape on the building than mimicking this that looks more like the side of a barn.
Yeah, I agree. And that's
it is a more attractive aesthetic. My only concern would be that does it make it too opaque?
And if they can get bigger holes.
Right.
I think the bigger holes would be more effective at night.
You can get a bigger hole in there.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah. So.
And are you looking at any larger size profile on that corrugated style, or is that interesting?
There's only like one other profile that's a little bit bigger, but it's like significantly more expensive because of the way that it's connected. So I suspect we're going to end up with that one. And I've used this material before not exactly at the level that we're using on this one, but I've seen it in larger panels, and it works out pretty well. It works out really well.
And the concrete will be definitely the browner color, more polished rather than a cold stone gray, as shows on the earlier color pages.
We're sort of going to do a mock-up associated with that. There is going to be a tint to it. It's not going to be pure gray. But one of the things we're sure of is that we will be grinding it.
Yes.
And another series of choices we have is we get to pick it's not just a regular block. The company will actually tell us, we will tell the company what color aggregate to put in. So we can put black, we can put red, we can put tan, do a combination, we can put white. And so this is one of the colors that we've been actually sort of attracted to. But there was one that's a little bit lighter as well. But it's still tan. And so ultimately, we have to start working directly with the vendors and get samples, and then we'll pick the final color.
So it kind of incorporates aspects of all the material colors within it.
Right. And ultimately, I think we've done a pretty good job of like dictating the sort of the tonal elements associated with all the different materials, but it may not be exactly that color. And for me as a designer, and Rick knows, and John's been around enough to know as well, sometimes it's like you have to start getting the building put together before you put that final little bit of a color, because there's some little subtleties that you may not pick up until things are starting to really happen.
As I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I will say that my preference is for the warmer tones because the bulk of the building is the brick. I think the beiges, greens, copper tones, browns will work more effectively for an overall cohesive thing than introducing the cold tones of the blue and the kind of icy greens. But, it's not my building.
Right.
I just thought I'd put that out.
It's not mine either. Yeah. It's really theirs.
and the lane to the north. The lane to the north is effectively the PAL.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And just for the record, site visibility triangles and the parking and everything's all been approved by DEP and TDOT.
Yeah, and I think you forwarded the comments for the site development package. We actually really didn't have that many complicated comments. Our initial site development package was pretty much we had a few things we had to deal with, but they were really minor. Site visibility triangles were all good. Access widths, everything is, we're all good with that. We're really ready to do the final little bit of like revisions to the site plan, which are, there's some minor ones, and most of them are just things like we're scooting something over, like the scooting a planter over or something like that, just like a few feet and that kind of thing. So,
can you show us the image so everybody here of what you presented yesterday at PRS of the 48-foot roof cap?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Stair cap, because it's not in our package, but because that's actually what you're proposing today, rather than the plans we received. Correct.
Correct. I mean, this is. So this was a solution that was recommended by Armory Park. And basically, their concern is really that there was a height limitation was set as part of the directive associated with the zoning ordinance or the rezone ordinance, and they felt that it was really important that we hit that mark within the ordinance. Also recognize that there may be associated with the elevator that there may be a need for extension for the hoistway, and that between Armory Park and PRS, if they both sort of thought that it was appropriate, that we could raise that section and not be in violation of the zoning ordinance. And that's sort of the direction that Armory Park suggested, and I think PRS has taken that recommendation.
Well, I'd like to we concur on that too, just because that is the thing in the code. Larry was really wonderful working with us through all of this, because this was negotiated to be in roughly in compliance of the anticipated height text amendment before there was a height text amendment, but no other building will be over 48 feet anywhere in the area, so it seems like that's a good baseline, but I don't give a rat's ass about the elevator.
or the skylight,
for that matter.
Right. And those elements we're actually going to be real selective in the color, so that they're sort of they're something that should become pretty nondescript. We'll pick it's like a blue green or not a grayish tone that should pretty much blend into the sky most of the time. But from you know, underneath the building, you're never going to be able to see it. You'll have to get pretty far away and even catch that sight line. Because you know it's pretty high up, but you will be able to see it, but this won't be noticeable.
And another thing I want to just put in the record: there's a lot of waffling of which part of 5.12 is applicable here, and it's my understanding that it's 5.12, 0.8, and 0.9, but not 0.10, because this is GIIS, correct?
This is in the greater.
Okay.
Correct.
Just for the record.
Are you referring to the PRS?
Several different documents.
Yeah. No,
it brings in downtown core sub-district.
Right.
It
no, for happen. The record, this is in the greater infill incentive district of the downtown gate, whatever. Okay. The downtown
infill
incentive district.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And also for the record, since it's part of our minutes, that because 39 feet goes into the H, it is a dual zone new parcel that has mixed underlying zoning. So, just wanted that.
This is a condo project, is that?
Well, it's a mixed use. So,
mixed use.
So it's retail, completely retail
right.
on the ground floor.
I get that, yeah.
And then apartments from the second story up.
So the parking is tied to ownership of those apartments, or are they leased apartments?
Well, they're leased apartments.
Okay.
So basically, that was, I think, one of the conditions of the rezone too, is that there had to be one dedicated parking space per apartment. If I'm not, was that part of the condition?
Not a condition, it was part of our design when we went in.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, I'll direct both to you, Larry, and to you, David. If someone comes without a vehicle, then how does it work for that vacant space? Or is that available for lease for someone else? Is that how?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the space would be available to the tenants.
Okay.
And we will have an amenity charge for each space that they rent. They'll be guaranteed at least one parking per apartment. If there's extra, they can pay them to rent the other one.
Okay.
But it's tenant only.
But it would be for the residential tenants, and if the residential tenants don't take all the spaces, then we would open it to the retail shop owners to put their vehicles down.
So along with cars, are there any thoughts given to providing charging for electric vehicles as more and more are coming into the market?
Now we just had that discussion, and one of the discussions is whether we should add something like that in the private parking garage, and I think that potentially I could see that happening. But you know, right now, if we added public charging station, it would have to be part of either the street parking or the lease parking. So we haven't really.
We've actually toyed with the idea of putting charging stations in at the gas station parcel there. Instead of the old gas pumps, put in electric charging pumps there. That would be sort of open for the public.
And very clever too, by the way.
That's not something that we have actually committed to, because we're still looking at how to develop that property in really the full work way. But that's an idea that came up. If it's for the public use, it would have to be on the surface in some way.
Right. And I was just thinking for your tenants, that is a plus you could certainly offer to people who have electric cars. Again, there's so many of them come on the market, and and tied into that is, would you be willing to run conduit to the mechanical portion of the roof, potentially for future solar, so that it's built into it, so if at some point I want to put panels up there. I don't mind panels looking out. In fact, it attracts me to a building because I kind of have a sense, hey, they're channeling the sun, they're using it, and that energy could actually be going into charging cars.
You know, it's a great idea, and actually one of the things that we talked about is potentially it actually could be, we could use the panels themselves as shading for the roof deck. But there's one of the primary issues is then we'll be above the 48 feet to make that happen, and so we thought it would.
You would shut that down somewhere?
Huh. So it would never come up in any of the discussions.
Right now it's not part. It's not part of Larry's budgeted plan. We have the capacity for the roof to add that.
Okay.
And in fact, there's different ways that we can handle that. But at this point, and there's actually chases that go from top to bottom. They're already in place that we could pull conduit when it's ready to go.
That's all I'd like to see.
And then it's all a matter of like what happens to a building once it's breathing and living. You know, things change over the course of the years, and so it certainly could be part of the equation.
To be fair, no HPZ can actually prohibit solar panels.
No, you can. Right. And so,
and it's not an HPZ.
Right. And so,
I just had to say that because I just thought it was funny.
And then also we see in some of the newer developments the use of zip cars. And so that's another thing.
What is a zip car?
Zip car is like rent by the hour, rent by a few hours. And so that you think most people maybe use a car a very small amount of the time, whether they're driving to work or whatever it is, or getting groceries. And so we've seen it as some of the, not to equate this with student housing projects, but to dissuade people from, one, bringing a vehicle, which will sit in the garage most of the time, and they have to build garages, which you guys know the garages are expensive, particularly underground garages.
Yeah.
And so, having the possibility of zip cars in the future would actually be a service to people who may be from out of state, want to live here part of the year, don't want to bring a car.
Right.
And this is something to consider.
One of the nice aspects of our particular location is that we're sort of a hub for the bike rental club program and also the scooters that are being distributed around the.
Yep.
Regardless of how you feel about the scooters, they're here and they're right there at the Five Points intersection for people who want to take that last mile into town or whatever, if that's what they want to do. Okay. I don't know that they're actually utilized that much, to be honest with you, but it is available. But our idea behind the underground secure parking garage element for our residents is that you're talking with people who live in the area, rent in the area, and love the location. But when you start drilling down to find out and really focus on what it is that one of the bigger negatives is they want their, most tenants, their most valuable possession is their car. And they want it taken care of. They don't want to worry about it at night. So we decided that even though someone may have a car that they only drive rarely, they don't want to have to worry about it sitting out on the street. The neighborhood doesn't want it sitting out on the street either. So that's sort of the holistic approach to the building, is to provide some place where a person could stay there and make a life there and have most of the important things and elements more or less considered in some thoughtful way. And that's what that's really the heart and soul of this building, is to try and make it a thoughtful place for people to live and easy access to downtown if they work downtown, and to all other parts of the city, quite frankly.
That's certainly a better alternative to have somebody stay up all night with a shotgun outside and protect their car. I like the project. I like the materials you're using. I like the design. I also live in a historic neighborhood north of downtown, and I do like the mix of contemporary materials and contemporary design and how that works with the qualities of a neighborhood that's in there. And I think this, to me, feels like you've accomplished that. So,
thank you.
But before we take a vote on this, we do have to go over to 5 points for lunch. So, I mean, we're getting, it's closer than two. So
that's right.
I think we can get back in time.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, any other comments, questions, thoughts, feedback?
Just back to the idea of the solar being applied, it could be considered a best practice, which our IID allows.
And I understand that may not be in your budget this time, but as the costs continue to lower and the cost of fossil fuel generation keeps going higher, I think that that's, you know, it may work out sometime in the future.
It's a very reasonable retrofit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, and now you've got the ability to get conduit up
right. And
wiring up. So,
are you channeling any roof water to vegetation, or is
a little bit to the microbasins? We really have, everything's pretty tight associated with that, and we went through with Eric some water harvesting strategies, and it was really difficult to justify it. I mean, we're going to use the microbasins, and his plant materials are going to be most likely our biggest savings, and his plant selection. So. So we're having to handle the water. The south part of the building is so close to the edge that of the property line, it's difficult to figure out how to do anything with it and then distribute it around. So that always becomes, always the interesting challenge with water harvesting is like, what are you going to do with it once you've captured it? And so we've got some areas where we are putting it into some of the planters. But probably not in any kind of sort of super meaningful way. Like we're collecting water for a captured irrigation system. So
we don't have some of our colleagues here, so I will comment. The landscape plan with native plant species is a good thing.
Yeah,
appreciate that. Thank you. I would recommend you figure out how to put a sump pump in your garage. It will flood every year.
Well, we'll have a couple sump pumps. We have to have one for the elevator pit, and then we have to have area drains throughout the garage, and then we have a trench drain to capture the water in the from the ramp, because there's no roof over the ramp,
yeah. And
so we have to capture the water before it gets into the garage. So, and I think that, and I actually think that there's a backup too. So,
it's building stuff, not us, but yeah. Just a comment.
Okay, no other comments. Is there a motion?
I am happy to make a motion to approve IID 19-8, the Baffert. Do I need to read the other numbers in?
No.
Okay. Has presented. Under the conditions that the roof height cap is 48 feet, the elevator has reasonably necessary, and endorsed both the two historic recommendations that the parking garage shall not set a precedent because of the unique for the Armory Park historic neighborhood, because of it's small, it's exclusively residential, and
it's below grade,
and there have been mitigation measures put in place, and that the materials are in the H portion of the lot are perfectly reasonable because of the materials waiver and the height text amendment, which should apply on that particular site.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Start digging.
Okay.
Happy.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
I'm happy that I didn't have to go.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Here we go.
But later.
We'll be out of here in a minute.
Thanks. So.
Call the other.
We do have a call to the audience here. Let me just. That's up now. Is there anybody who'd like to speak? Nope. Okay. Future agenda items.
So we do have another IID project ready for the DRC to review. It is the Flash. We were trying to get them scheduled for today's meeting, but the design professional with that project was unavailable. So we will be looking probably 2 weeks out for that. So I will send out another poll to all the members to see when everybody's availability is for that project.
So probably 12th or 13th.
Yeah, those are the week of the 9th is when I'll send out the poll for. So we'll target that week.
And if we have some semi-firm things in the pipeline and a kind of semi-ideas of timing, maybe we could hear about those as well. And just I know there's a bunch of things. There's a big pile of things coming. And but just kind of give an idea, so timing-wise and...
The one that would be next, most likely, would be Hotel Congress with their permanent stage and all the outdoor activity taking place there.
Okay, lighting fixtures.
Yeah, they're stage. Going through historic review as well. And but we sat down with them. They need to revise their application. It was not accepted. We expect them to resubmit any time.
Okay.
So.
And just another question: is 610 South Stone even near, or 601 South Stone? Is it even near the Stones? Is it even near Curtis?
Do you mind if I borrow that?
Yeah. I kind of
sure we're talking about the same project here. Are you referring to the affordable housing project?
17th and South Stone.
So they have not even come in to talk to us yet on that. So we're, if they are coming through the IID, it's still a ways out.
Oh, good. Okay.
There's another project on 9th Street in Iron Horse that will be coming your way probably along the same timeline as Congress. They have a development package in for review at the moment. They're converting an existing residential structure into kind of a boutique retail space.
It used to be Henry Electric area.
I believe so, yeah. So renovating the existing structure and then adding a little bit of new construction as a phase two, so it wouldn't be kind of in the immediate future there, but they're going to get that approved while they're going through the development package process right now. So that's probably the two projects that are coming your way next after the Flash.
And we're only looking at Flash South.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Good. I know there are other ones rumored, but we're just waiting for the rumors to become more real.
Yeah, so. There's a project for affordable housing in the kitchen for the intersection on Drachman and Oracle.
Good.
Unfortunately, because they have these tight deadlines to submit to the state for, you know, the credits and stuff, they may not go through the IID because they wouldn't have enough time to go through the neighborhood meeting and everything. So they're trying to find ways to accommodate what they want to do without, you know, needing to go through the IID.
Who's the local developer on it?
I believe it's Chicanos Por La Causa. And,
okay.
Yeah, Vance.
That's the architect.
Vance Goodman's the architect on it. It's La Frontera.
Oh, yeah, La Frontera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll have vibes going through DRB.
So the TCC is going through so currently the garage just went to the DRB, DRB this morning.
Still need to come back with provisions.
Okay. Well, good. That's a good rundown, and we'll find out when the next Flash is going to be next.
75 Broadway revisions will be 6 months out.
Yeah, no update on 75 Broadway.
They're adding a lot.
Yeah, still on hold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, good. Well, if there are no other questions or comments, meeting is adjourned.
And at least what time?
1:51.